Welcome to the Inside College Soccer Podcast, bringing together some of the best college soccer-related people to your earbuds, from coaches to players and beyond. So, thank you for tuning in. The Inside College Soccer Podcast is brought to you by Sports Recruiting USA, the college soccer experts. Now, enjoy the show.
Guys, welcome to today's podcast. My name is John Maloney of SI USA. I'm delighted to be joined by Molly Rouse, currently of London City Lionesses. Molly, how's everything going?
Yeah, it's going really good, thank you. Start of 2022 has been pretty good, and yeah, we're pushing on, and I'm getting used to that English style of footballing still after America, and yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
No, brilliant. Well, I thought what we'd do just to kind of get to know Molly a little bit better is we've got 10 kind of quick fire questions that we're going to ask just before we get into kind of the main interview, where Molly talks about her time with England, going through the youth system with England, obviously going to America, and then kind of what it's been like to return and come back here to England. So just to start off with, Molly, as I say, quick fire questions just to get to know you. What's your nickname?
It's Rousey, but not everyone calls me that.
And what's your favourite position or your best position?
Varies anywhere in midfield. I'm not versatile, so just a midfielder, CDM or attacking.
No, definitely. And what team do you support?
My family supports Villa, but I wouldn't say I'm a diehard fan of anyone.
Footballing idol?
I think in the men's game, I always looked up to Kevin De Bruyne, unreal player, and he's getting back into his great form again at the moment. So he's definitely a role model for me.
He's a special player, scored again last night, so he's doing great things. Favorite pre-match meal?
I have to go with generic porridge. Love porridge in the morning. You know, sits well on the stomach. Yeah, go to every time with coffee. Must not forget the coffee.
Excellent. And any superstitions before a game?
Not really. I'd say the day before I actually have more because I always fake tan the day before my game. Don't know why, I just always do it, you know. It's just one of those things. I have to say that's probably my most, and like probably pasta the night before. That's it.
Brilliant. Best mate in football?
Oh, I can't say that. It's
Jake, you, I'm sure.
Yeah. Different teams been on, you know, still to stay in contact with all the great friends I've made over the years.
Brilliant. Funniest moment in football?
Ooh. I would probably say at the World Cup when Lauren Hemp scored a goal, but it bounced underneath her and it went viral. It was on BBC News the next day. It was just so funny, and what a way to score a goal.
It was. As you say, it went viral. I think probably everybody's seen that. It was brilliant.
Yeah, it was so good.
What would you say has been your best moment in football?
100% winning a bronze at the World Cup. That's my highlight so far. And, you know, my main memories that will last a lifetime, and what an experience I was lucky to be part of.
No, definitely. And that's something we'll kind of get to as we go through, because I know it's just an amazing achievement. And then finally, if you had one word to sum yourself up as a player, what would it be?
Driven. I'd say driven. I say I'm pretty driven, and I just, you know, want to keep improving. And yeah, that drive I have is like why I'm still in the game at the moment, really, I think.
No, definitely. And as I say, that's just a little bit to kind of get to know you. And I thought just to kind of start the main part, we kind of go right back to the start, really. And if you could give us a bit of a background about how you got into football and obviously who were your inspirations and where you kind of started, that'd be brilliant.
So I got into football through my brother and my dad. My dad led the local boys team, which my brother was part of. I just started turning up with them, you know, helping collect the footballs, the cones and all that stuff. And then eventually, like, if there's a player missing, I might join in sometimes. And I started really enjoying it. I just wanted to be like my brother when I was younger. So I was copying him and I was just getting involved and started to realise I actually enjoyed football. So then I ended up joining a boys team of my age because my brother was 2 years older than me. So I started playing for them locally, you know, just for fun. And I ended up getting scouted at a boys tournament by a Coventry ladies scout. Well, actually, it was a men's scout who passed it on to the ladies team. So they ended up going there for a while, went up the ranks, but it was at a time where they eventually cut off a lot of the Centre of Excellences. So Coventry, which originally had a licence, they got cut off. So I had to look elsewhere if I wanted to be part of a Centre of Excellence. So I ended up going to Villa. I started working at the ranks of Villa, got my debut at 16 in the first team. And then that was when I was torn between staying in England or heading over to the States. And I think at 18, I headed over to the States, was there 3.5 years, two different universities. And then, yeah, recently I've come back. I think I came back last year in January, played for Lewis for 6 months, and then came and started my journey at London City.
Amazing. And what was it like, obviously, making your debut at 16 at such a young age? Were you nervous or excited or what?
Yeah, well, to be honest, it came about quite a strange way. So we were playing against Birmingham in the cup because Villa at the time was in second league and Birmingham in the top league. So we were playing against them, big derby game. And I was not meant to be starting, but someone either fell ill or injured. And about half an hour before the game, well, an hour before the game, they told me that I'd be starting that game. And that's how I made my debut, was a start against Birmingham in the top league. And I don't think I got given time to be nervous because I only just found out. Yeah, so I think that actually did me the world of good finding out so late. So I was just like, okay, get in the zone and get focused and play. And you know what? We lost by a significant amount of goals, but the experience, you know, just, I was playing against the likes of like Karen Carlett, time I was playing for England. It was just like the best experience ever for a debut. I thought it was pretty surreal.
No, definitely. And obviously one thing that I would say has probably changed over the last few years is the opportunities for kind of young female footballers. As you say, when you were coming through, the Centre of Excellence was kind of put to one side and it was always difficult. Is the way that the game's grown recently, is that something that has excited you?
Yeah, 100%. I think when I was growing up, I never ever thought of it as a career. I never thought, oh, I'm going to be playing football for a living. I was always going through school. I was in sixth form and I was always thinking about, okay, what job am I going to do and then play football alongside, because it wasn't as much of an option. But then, yeah, as I was over in America, it really grew. Over those 3 short years, the difference between before I went and after was incredible. And I think it's great to see like the next generation seeing the pathway that they can do, and they have the opportunities now to go professional and, you know, to live the dream and play football all day, every day, or, you know, every kid's dream. But when I was younger, it wasn't a reality, but now it is. So it's super exciting to see.
Oh, it is, yeah. And I know you've already talked about, obviously, you went to America at 18. Was it a hard decision? Was it something that you'd kind of thought about for a while and really wanted to do?
I wouldn't say I thought about it for too long. I think I was lucky that in my England age group, a lot of the girls happened to be a school year above me. Like, we're in the same age group, but they're a school year above. So a lot of them had made the jump and they decided just to go to America kind of in the unknown. It wasn't, not many people had done it leading up to that stage, like as in bulk people, like a lot of people do it at the same time. So I think seeing like my friends do it and the feedback they were giving about going to America, you know, how professional it is there, how much better they're getting, how they're getting to do education on the side and stuff. And I think as soon as I saw my friends do it, I thought, oh, that just sounds like something I can't miss out on. But it never really crossed my mind when I was younger, because I didn't really know much about it. So I think it was definitely more seeing friends and people around me do it that made my decision a lot easier, and definitely the best decision I've ever made.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously you went to the University of Louisville. What was the transition like? Because I know it can be difficult because it is such a big move at 18. How did you find the transition from obviously the second tier here in England to going over to Louisville and starting as a student athlete?
I think everyone, yeah, has, it's tough when you first move over. You know, you've been homesick, you're away from family. I think I was lucky that I went a lot of camps when I was younger, so I had that like separation from my parents quite often. But I think the biggest change was like the culture and how you are expected to act as an student athlete in America compared to like when I was playing at Villa. We're training on the nights, you know, it was nothing more than you just go in and train and then on the outside kind of do what you want as such. Whereas you become a student athlete, you're living it every day, 24/7, and you know, there's a school side which they're like really on you about, and then there's the football side. But I think, yeah, the biggest shock was that, and diving right in the deep end, not really knowing too much. The style of play, you know, it is a different style of play over there. And Yeah, but I loved it. It made me grow so much as a person. And I think I definitely found this transition tough, but I also enjoyed trying to work out how I fit in this new culture and like learning all about it. So yeah, it was a great experience from the off, really.
Yeah, definitely. And something that's always talked about, as you say, is the professionalism and everything as a student athlete. What another thing is the facilities. What were the facilities like at Louisville?
I couldn't believe it, honestly. I went on my visit and I was like, how is this a university's team facilities? It was insane. They had a massive stadium and then they've got this whole building just for the men and women's soccer teams with all these like treatment beds, the hot and cold tubs, the little room which had football tennis in just for activation if you wanted to play that. And I was like, oh, this is a university team. This is crazy to me. And that was the only school I visited. So I thought, oh, Louisville has got to be the only one that has these crazy facilities because that is not right for a university. And then I started playing against all these other universities. I'm like, wait, they all have this. Like, they all are to this level of professional. And, you know, it's even the little things like nutrition-based. Like, we would get, after every training, a protein shake and a choice of all these millions of snacks in front of us. And those, like, I couldn't believe it, honestly. A meal room right down the corridor from the change room. It's just, the list is endless, honestly. And I was shook when I went on my visit and saw these facilities. And yeah, it's definitely overwhelming, but in a good way. And I think that, yeah, I recommend it to anyone to go and see the facilities over there.
No, definitely. And something as well you touched upon is obviously the degree side of things. Did you find that a difficult balance? Because I know, as you say, I've been a student athlete. Is that discipline that you might be on the road for kind of 3 or 4 days and you're missing class, but you've obviously, the degree is so important as well, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And like, you know, the degree was a big factor why I went out there, because that wasn't really an opportunity for people in England at the time. I know it's getting a bit better and there's more things for people over here now, but that was a big factor for me. So yeah, I thought that the balance wasn't as hard as I expected in a sense, because everyone's in the same boat. And I think that really helped me. So I struggle sometimes with school to like not procrastinate and, you know, the little things. I'm very football orientated and I was a bit concerned I'd push aside the schoolwork. But because you've got, you know, the coaches know you're a student athlete, they know everyone else is, you get designated times to do it. You get tutors, you get all these extra things to help you do it. And yeah, I think I definitely would have struggled more if I stayed in England and had to do it on my own, like do school separately to football, where other people might not have. So yeah, the balance is obviously tough and you are like very professional in both senses, but I think having people around you in the same boat, yeah, made it a lot easier. And the support networks they have for you out there is incredible.
Yeah, definitely. And something we touched upon obviously is your youth international career, which is just amazing to think, obviously over 60 caps, which is just unbelievable. But I guess the standout was the under 20s Women's World Cup. First of all, what was it like to get the call up? And then secondly, what was, I guess what a lot of people like to know is what's the build-up like to a World Cup? Because let's face it, there's not many people who will go through that.
Yeah, so the call-up, we actually had a lot of camps leading up into the final like World Cup before we travelled over to France. And it was like quite a lot of short camps and very intense, all fitness stuff, you know, getting you prepared for it. Lots of meetings with like full-on preparation stuff, very intense and, you know, quite tough. Like, you would go home for a week, then go back to camp for a week, go home for a week, go back to camp. And it was quite a lot. So it was the thought that dawned on you was like, am I going for all this? And then I might not get selected. And, you know, it is tough to keep pushing when times are tough in those sense. But yeah, the call-up, it happened in between like the camps. And obviously I was over the moon. I couldn't believe it. Like, I was called up to go to World Cup. And you know, it's what you dream of, and all the emotion are through me, like pride and, you know, for my family and stuff. And it was just, yeah, great feeling. And then the preparation continues, like you get called up and then you're back in, you're going again. And this time it's real, like this is the squad you're in, and you're then flying over to France and you're preparing over there. And the build up to the game, you know, was amazing. I've never seen like anything like that for like a youth setup for like over in France as well. Like, there's a big like boom about it, and yeah, it was just incredible. It's hard to describe in words how great it was.
Yeah, definitely. And coming up to that, obviously that first game, what are the emotions like an hour 90 minutes before the game? How are you feeling as a player?
obviously everyone gets nerves. So yeah, definitely nervous, but I always think like nerves just mean you care, and then it builds excitement when you think of it in that aspect. But I think we'd been preparing for so long that you're just like raring to go. You're like, oh, it's finally here, this moment. Like, we've been training all these weeks and the game day's here, and there's just a big buzz about it. You know, so many of our friends and families traveled over because obviously France isn't that far of a trip. So we felt like we were the home team with the amount of fans we had as well. So there's just a big buzz about it. And yeah, definitely raring to go and, you know, show them what we got, really.
No, definitely. And obviously you got off to a great start. You beat North Korea in the first game, and did that really start to give you guys a bit of momentum to think, you know what, we can do really well in this tournament?
Yeah, definitely, because I think North Korea actually happened to have won it previously. So they won it previously, and you know, so we knew that that was a big game. You know, if we can put our like we can put ourselves on the map if we win this thing. Like, we were definitely underdogs. We super underachieved in the Euros before. We were predicted to like win or second, and we ended up being fifth and just scraping qualifying for the World Cup. So yeah, we definitely knew we had to put a stamp on it, and we did. You know, that was one of our best performances in the opening game, and that just sets the tone for the rest of the tournament. And yeah, it was unreal to play against one of the best teams and still feel confident and, you know, winning that game.
No, definitely. Yeah. And then, as I say, that put you on the road. You drew with Brazil, and then I think the Lohenheim goal was against Mexico, where I think you had won
that.
And obviously came back to win 6-1. And then you're obviously in the knockout stage. Is there a different mentality in the knockout stage, or is it just a case of just taking every game as it comes?
Definitely the case of taking every game as it comes. Like, I actually received 2 yellow cards in the group stage, so I missed out on the first knockout stage against Holland, I think it was. And
yeah,
so I was definitely just, you know, support my team as best I could in any aspect. And I do think I learned that aspect in America as well, because you have such large teams in America, and, you know, you're in and out of the subs and stuff as well. And it's about how can you be the best teammate. So I learned that after the World Cup and before the World Cup. So, yeah, I think, yeah, it was just, yeah, I was on the bench, but I was just so happy to be in the situation. I was like, even in the stands cheering them on for that stage. But it was definitely game by game, and so glad they won that game. And then, you know, we kept going.
Oh, exactly. And then obviously the semi-final against Japan was a disappointment, but I think I remember watching that game, and they were obviously a real quality team.
Yeah, they were ridiculous, honestly. And honestly, the most polite team I've ever played against as well. Yeah. I must say, like, they were so respectful. It was crazy. And they honestly, hands down, deserved that win. Like, they were unstoppable. Their movement, the everything about them, they were a proper team. And, you know, respect to them, they ended up winning it. Like, they were just, they were just so good, and honestly deservedly so. But just to even compete with them and be at that level, like, it was a joy to be a part of.
Yeah, and it must be such a strange feeling going from that Japan game to obviously the disappointment of getting beat, to then think, all right, we've got to go into this next game, which is a chance for a bronze medal. Was that difficult to kind of transition from the disappointment to think, you know what, we've got a chance here to really make history?
Yeah, obviously we were gutted. Everyone wants to make it to the final. But yeah, as you said, it's like making history. We knew coming into the World Cup that no one had ever received a medal at a Youth World Cup at this point. And like, that was a big goal of ours, to gain a medal and be on the podium at the end of it. And then even better, we were playing against France on their home turf. You know, we knew there was going to be a crowd, there was going to be an atmosphere. It was going to be a big occasion. That's what you play for. You want to play in the big occasions. And, you know, the evening of the game where we lost against Japan, yeah, it was tough and everyone was down. But the next day, completely different mentality. We're ready to go for the next one. And, you know, we wanted that medal. We really wanted it.
Oh, no, I remember watching that game, and it obviously went to penalties, and the nerves of penalties. What was the feeling like when that winning penalty went in?
Oh, it was amazing, honestly. And we had been practicing penalties the whole World Cup. Yeah. Every training session, you practice them like after every game. And honestly, I had a nightmare that World Cup in terms of penalties. Every session, it would not go in the net. So we got to a point, and it was, I think, the night, like 89th minute, and someone had gone down in the game against France. And we all came over, and Mo Marley was like, right, is there anyone who don't think they should take a penalty? And there's someone better on the side who's going to take it. And I was like, hands up. Like, I was not ashamed. I was like, I've not been scoring. I'm doing this for my team. I'm coming off and I'm letting someone who's been scoring week in, week out, come in and score a penalty for us and get us through. And lo and behold, Georgia Allen came on and scored that winning penalty. Yeah, yeah. And you know, you're like, I'm so glad I came off for this. Like, you had this like in the bag. And it, you know, that's how much of a team we were though. Like, we were so comfortable to be vulnerable and be like, I'm not ready, but she is. And, you know, for her to come on, like, not really play 2 minutes before scoring that winning penalty of bronze medal, like, credit to her. Like, she did it for the team and it was, yeah, a brilliant moment. And, yeah, it was unreal. In front of all our fans as well. Like, honestly, it felt like a home game with the amount we had. I can't even explain to you. But, yeah, amazing. Couldn't believe it.
No, definitely. And does it take a few days for that to actually sink in, like, afterwards to think, do you know what? Was there a moment where you thought, right, do you know what? Can't believe we've actually done this, won a bronze medal.
Yeah, honestly, it took a while. Like, it was when you come back and you go back to reality and yeah. Then you're like, oh my gosh, I've just won a bronze medal. Like, what? That was it was the more coming back to reality. When you're around everyone else and we all want it together, you're obviously ecstatic, but it doesn't quite hit you until you're on your own. You're like, oh well, that happened.
Absolutely amazing. And then obviously it was another transition back to America. And I know it was a little bit of a tough time, wasn't it, when you returned to Louisville after that?
Yeah, definitely. That was probably crazy. It was crazy because it was my highest high to almost my lowest low at the time. I came back and I'd missed the whole of pre-season from being at the World Cup. And then just things changed with my coach out there. I was being put in like different, I was being put as a nine, which when you say that to people, they laugh because I do not have pace. And that is not my forte.
No.
So like it was just coming in and obviously I think missing preseason was really thrown against me and, you know, like it happens and it didn't go very well between me and the coach and things like that. But the one good thing about America, it's so easy to transfer. So easy. Like the process now, you go on a transfer portal and you're in there and coaches can see that you're transferring. And, you know, I think that's a great thing about the system, actually, because you're not always going to get it right on your first time. But yeah. It doesn't mean it's the wrong decision for you to go. And I think like the more people realize that, like, just because it hasn't worked one place doesn't mean it won't work the other. I think, yeah, in hindsight, like, the best thing that happened to me was transferring. And, you know, Even though it was low, slow, I wouldn't change it for the world. I went to the best university and I just loved every minute of it at UCF. So I'm very grateful in the end.
Yeah, and definitely. How was obviously, the transition, as you say, it is relatively simple to transfer. It's quite hard for people to get their head around that people just transfer from school to school over in America, which is pretty mad. But as you say, you went to University of Central Florida, another amazing school. How was it working with, obviously, Coach Tiff, who's a legend out in America, isn't she?
Yeah, honestly, Tiff, my coach, is like my idol. She made me love football again. I went from, you know, not enjoying it, not playing. I wasn't allowed to use facilities at Louisville and all this stuff. And then I'm suddenly in this environment where this coach just wants me to be the best person and player I can be. And like is pushing that and believes in me. And, you know, and Tim, the assistant, you know, he's got experience in the MLS. So we've got World Cup winner and Olympic winner on one end and then an MLS player on the other. And I just thought, wow, I'm so lucky like to be in this situation again. And, you know, it's just a second chance for me. And yeah, I went under her wing and I just wanted to learn off her and just, you know, everything she taught me, I still use today. And I definitely wouldn't be the person I am like if I hadn't have met her. So very, very grateful for it.
No, definitely. Is there any highlights from obviously your time at UCF? Because I know it was disappointingly cut short with COVID, which was frustrating and everything like that. But is there anything that sticks out from your time there?
Oh, there's so many things. Like, I just love the place. I think we had a big rivalry with like the South Florida, and we won like the first game when I was there, my first season there against them, and that just even winning that one game was just incredible. And you know, went to championship games and stuff, and the whole experience is just, yeah, it's not like nothing else I've experienced. And I think I wish I could have had another season there, and obviously COVID meant that not to happen. And you know, I would have absolutely loved to have stayed out there and stuff, but yeah, I treasure every moment I had at UCF. It was definitely the right decision for me, and I'm very grateful that I managed to transfer there.
Yeah, definitely. And is there any, I guess, any advice that you would give to future student athletes who are maybe thinking about going down this route in the future, and what would you like to pass on to them, Molly?
So my biggest advice would 100% be don't just focus on the football. So when you're looking for a school, I was so tunnel vision. I was like, football, football, football. But then when you get out there, you realize you're living there 24/7. Like, it doesn't just stop after practice. You're out there all day, every day. And I think I went there and obviously saw Louisville's facilities and the football side of it, and it was incredible. And, you know, so many other universities had it, though, and I didn't realize. And I think that what hit me most when I went to Florida was I realized I got to have fun outside of football. Like, I lived my life as well. And because I managed to switch off outside of training, I was playing better because I had that mental break and, you know, I was happy. And yeah, I just think definitely when you're looking for a new school, the focus should be like, am I going to enjoy this 24/7? Am I going to be okay here when I'm not playing football? Like, the both sides of it are very important. And I know we all love football. Like, that's what we think is the most important thing. But when you're living there, there's so many other factors. And I think they definitely, like, that is definitely a focus that I try and push on people. Like, make sure you're looking at all aspects.
Yeah, definitely. And do you think it kind of, I guess, going over to America at such a young age, at 18, did it bring you on as a person and kind of make you the person that you are today, do you feel?
Yeah, 100%. I think I definitely went, I was young when I went there, but when they're a bit naive about some things, and, you know, like, obviously, when I feel like when you're younger, things go a lot more smoothly in terms of football. Like, I was playing all the time. Like, I never really had a big down as such when I was younger. Because you're playing so much, so you know it's just the way it is sometimes. But then when I went to America, I had to grow up. Like, I had to realize, you know, there's girls who've worked as hard as I have all my life. Like, I'm not any different to these girls. Like, they are beating me on these fitness tests, they are beating me on this, like, they're making it look effortless. So I'm like, oh my gosh, like, what do I do? And I think, yeah, it does make you grow up. But even the living by yourself, you know, you can't like get your mum to cook your dinner, you just all these little things, like,
yeah.
it just grow you up, but in a good way. Like, I think sometimes, like, you might feel like you've been thrown in the deep end, but you actually find a way, and then you kind of are grateful that you had to figure it out and challenge yourself, because it does change you. And I think even coming back, and then, you know, I've relocated to London right now, like, but that was such an easy transition now, because I've experienced the bigger transition of moving countries when I was younger. So it just helps you for life lessons for sure.
No, definitely. And as we say, obviously, UCF was cut a little bit short by COVID and you came back. What was the transition like back to English football?
Yeah, like, it was tough in the sense of actual football. So, like, on the pitch stuff, it's a very, very different game. And I forgot about the solid 50-50 battles and, you know, the yeah. nitty-gritty of the English game, and the weather. The weather was an issue from Florida to England. but, yeah, I think I did struggle at first, to be honest, like, just getting used to it. And also, I went from my American coach being very focused on, like, personal growth as well off the pitch, and, you know, that. But whereas, like, obviously now it becomes a business and it's a job rather than, you know, student athlete as such as well, that they don't focus on that as much here. It's definitely more you got to perform on the pitch, so you got to find another way to focus on your, like, mental health and things off the pitch on your own as such. So that was a big adjustment, but yeah, the skill sets I learned in America helped with that for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And then obviously you made the move from kind of Lewis to London City Lionesses, which I know is a team that has massive ambitions. How's it been this season? Because I know that the team have obviously been doing really well, and you've kind of really cemented yourself within the team these last few months. How are you finding it now you're back in England?
Yeah, so when I was at Lewis, they weren't actually full-time. So then I moved to London City into a full-time environment, like my first contract full-on professional. And you know, I've been growing throughout and, you know, learning the professional way and stuff. But I think we did start off as an underdog. No one really spoke about us at the start of the season. We were definitely, obviously, we don't have a big name and we're a very independent women's club. So, yeah, that kind of factored into that. But I think we've definitely grew a name for ourselves, and we've shown, like, if a club has the right ambition in the women's game, then they can progress. And it's not all about having, like, a big men's backing as such. So I love the fact that we've done that. And, you know, we're going to keep pushing and see how far we can take it this season. It's great to be challenging at the top end of the table. And everyone knows the Championship is such a competitive league. Like, you can play bottom and top and the results can be very close. And I love that about this league. We each game you can't take for granted. And, yeah, it's a great experience. And, Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. It's great.
Brilliant. And obviously you made yourself a bit of a TV star as well with the Ultimate Goal series. How was that? Because obviously that's something a little bit different that you did. If you want to explain what the series is about and just how it was.
Yeah, so honestly, I went into it not really knowing what it was. So it's just a reality show where basically I think it was 26 girls head to in London for a few days and train together, and then they narrow it down to 16. And then at the end of the, I think it was 10 days I was away, we played against West Ham development team in front of scouts, and yeah, and the whole journey was filmed and stuff. And it was an experience I've not had before for sure. And I definitely was not aware of what it takes to film a show. So all the camera stuff and, you know, like do this walk and then walk back and then do it again. And then you're just like, oh, I didn't realize. I just thought it went so smoothly on TV. Like they just got the walk in one go. So things like that, yeah, was an experience for sure. And honestly, I just went into it because luckily my agent got me the opportunity, and I just thought season had ended for a few weeks, and I thought, oh, well, great way to get back into playing football. Even if it just means football fitness and stuff like that, that's kind of my mindset into it. But I got to meet the likes of like Ennio Luca and stuff, and, you know, I got coached by them. So it ended up being a great experience and, you know, connections for life. And yeah, I actually really enjoyed it.
Amazing. And then, what does the future hold, Molly? Just to finish up, what are your ambitions, and obviously ambitions for this season, and then kind of further afield, what are you looking for?
So obviously for this season, we're just pushing to like get to the top end, and you know, see how far we can take it with the top end of the table and stuff. Individually, just getting the consistency in the English game, really getting those minutes, and you know, just progressing each week if I can, and you know, seeing where that takes me. And then in the long run, you know, trying to get to a top league one day, and that's always the goal, you know, play amongst the best. That's for sure the goal, and it will forever be the goal.
No, definitely, Molly. Well, it's, as I say, you're still very young, but you seem to have packed in a lot already within your career, and I'm sure a lot of the potential female student athletes that will listen to this will take a lot from it, that's for sure. And I think what comes across is the fact to not have regrets, especially about going to America, because it is an amazing opportunity. Obviously, I went through it a long time ago. You've been through it more recently. But it is just a great opportunity, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. And I always advise people to take it if they can. Like, it's the best thing I've ever done, for sure. And for so many reasons. And I think if you ask a lot of the girls who have gone out there, they'll say the same. You know, it grows you as a player, as a person. It doesn't, I think the one big worry a lot of people think is that they'll fall behind by going away and then coming back. But that's not the case. You know, you're in control of your own growth as a player and person. And I think you take that mindset into America, you only come back better and more ready for whatever you want to do next, whether it's not football or whether it's trying to get into, you know, top league.
No, definitely, Molly. Well, thanks so much for your time. As I say, I'm sure there'll be loads of people who take plenty from this, and good luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Molly.